to what Guy said. We brought with us tonight James and Christine Hester. Christine is Guy's sister, and James is Guy's favorite brother-in-law. I've heard him say that many a times, and I've come to definitely believe it. And they were excited to make this long trip with us tonight, and we're thankful they could come. Hope you've got your Bibles with you tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about sticking with the Word of God. And the place that I took this from is I got online and I looked up the series that you're studying right now, Trailblazers for the Faith, and this seems to be the theme that they're studying in the back tonight, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Matt? So we're going to try to stick with that theme a little out here in the auditorium as well. And we're going to talk about three examples of sticking with the Word of God. Now, these three examples, we're going to build from the first to the second to the third in the strength of the way they stuck with the Word of God. And with each point, we're going to try to make application to our lives. And we're going to ask ourselves, are we sticking with the Word of God in our lives, in the decisions we make, in the lifestyle that we and our families are living? And hopefully, throughout studying this lesson tonight, it's not going to be anything you've never heard, or it's not going to be examples you've never studied. But maybe, just like these kids, we can have the heart of a child. We can become like these little children. We can look in the mirror. We can be honest with ourselves. It's here this summer. The kids are out of school. I also teach school for a living. So we're out of school. If there's any teachers in here, then you're happy as I am as well. And we're trying to refresh ourselves. We're trying to re-energize. We're trying to grow. We're trying to develop as Christians should do and add to our faith. So tonight, I hope you'll look with me. Guy told me I had 2 hours. Now, Matt told me that I only had about 50 minutes, 35 minutes or so. So I'm going to have to really shrink it down. Now, he didn't tell me that. I've got to correct myself. But either way, we're going to have a fun study tonight from the Word of God. In the world we live in today, you know, people have all types of thoughts on how we should live and the types of paths we should take. There are so many denominations and types of worship in the world today. For someone who's trying to become a Christian, to learn the Word of God, we support 7 preachers outside of our congregation where we worship, and all but 2 are overseas. How many types of worship are coming at them? They're being told, oh, this is how you become saved. This is how you obey the gospel. Tonight, I want us to look at some biblical characters. We're going to look at 3 examples who stuck with God's Word and how it benefited them in the long run, and how if we stick to God's Word, we stay on the straight and narrow path that God's given to us until we leave this earth, how it will benefit us on the day of judgment versus if we go off on these paths that lead to destruction. I hope we can look with open hearts and make application from these examples of how sticking with God's Word can help us have a better relationship with Christ and, most of all, hope of eternal life. The first one I'm going to talk about tonight is Naaman. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to start with verse 1. We're not going to read everything there is about Naaman. We're just going to hit the highlights. Now remember, we're going to build with each of the 3 points to make our case of sticking with the Word of God. We're going to read verse 1 and then verses 8 through 14, then we're going to talk about it just a little. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He has one thing that's a problem here. He's got a major disease called leprosy. Well, what's our similarity with Naaman? Maybe we don't have leprosy. Maybe we don't have some physical disease that haunts us, that makes us an outcast. But we have something far worse. What is it that we have that connects us to Naaman? We have sin. We have sin. So just as Naaman has leprosy that makes him an outcast, we have sin that separates us from God. Now skip down to verse 8. We're going to read verses 8 through 14. And it was so when Elijah, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was wroth. He was mad. And he went away and said, behold, I thought, he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Just come out with your hand, reach over me, and cure me. He's a man of power. You know, sometimes we live in America. We're blessed. We get spoiled. We want everything the easy way, the convenient, the fast way. But give it time here. Verse 12. He says, "Are Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near, and they spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then when we said to thee, wash and be clean?" Then he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I'm reading from a King James Version Bible, just in case you're wondering there. So he's clean, his leprosy is healed. So look at, you take verse 14. According to the saying of the man of God, according to Elijah the prophet, that's who he followed. At first, he didn't want to listen. You know, there's a lot of people. Maybe you're in the audience tonight, and you came out of a denominational practice. Or maybe it took years for you to ever to be baptized in Christ because you thought, why do I need to be baptized to be a Christian? Or maybe you became a Christian or wanted to become a Christian, but you have a sin or had a sin in your life that you said, there's nothing wrong with gambling. There's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol. There's whatever the sin was. And you thought, well, I'll just, you know, can't I go a different way about becoming a Christian? He asked Abana and Pharpar, they're cleaner waters. Why do I have to go to the Jordan? It's so filthy. It's so dirty. If you had leprosy your entire life, and someone told you, you can be cured. If you had cancer, I don't want to say that in a way that, you know, there's so many people who suffer from that. But if a person had a terminal illness, such as cancer, and they were told, all you have to do is do this and you'll be healed, you would say, I'll do it. There's one of these children in this vacation Bible school who had a major sickness, and they said they needed a kidney. I'll do it. All he tells him to do is go dip seven times. And then he says, put your hand over me. Can I go to these words? He looks for different paths. He looks for something different than the Word of God. How many people do that today? How many people want to find a way around what God says? Can't we just do it a little different? Can't we do something different? He first thought of other ways to be cleansed, but then he decided to go with God's way. And now we can make application. Making application to name. Many today try other ways for salvation. Some people will tell you all you have to do is recite the sinner's prayer, and you can be saved eternally. Find me a verse, find me a chapter, find me a book out of our 27 books of the New Testament, our 8 writers, and show me who said where it says that. You're going to be looking a long time. You've got a better chance of going to your backyard and digging for gold and finding gold than you are finding that, because it's not there. Once saved, always saved. Why must we repent if once saved, always saved? In Romans 6, can we just sin willfully? God forbid. We can't sin willfully. Predestination. You just weren't born into it. You just weren't born saved. Too bad, you're just not part of the saved family. You don't have the bloodline, you don't have the genealogy. Laying on of healing hands. Some of you may watch television shows that have spiritual backgrounds or themes. I remember we had a neighbor growing up, and she was a very elderly woman. We'd go over there, and she'd give us popsicles. Her name was Bessie. She'd always give us popsicles, just this. We'd go over there, and she'd always have on the channel, which a preacher was up there, or as he called himself, a pastor. And he was performing miracles on these people. He was healing the lame, the sick. They were rising up out of wheelchairs walking, and she was sending her few dollars that she had in the mail to that preacher. And there's so many more ways that are not, notice the underlined two words, are not the Lord's way. Will they get us to heaven? You know, we can take different paths. We don't have to follow the Lord's path or the Lord's way. The problem is when we take those paths, it's going to lead us somewhere else. And the question we have to make when we leave this building tonight, wherever you go and lay your head at night, is when I leave this earth, where do I want to go? You know, I might say, I don't like Guy McDaniel. He's just hard on me every Sunday when he preaches. But he can't get you into heaven. He can't get you into hell. I don't like my mom or dad staying on me all the time. I need to be at worship service. I need to go to church somewhere. I need to find a place to worship. Well, they can't hold your hand on the day of judgment either. What about your children? Many of you probably brought your children out, and we're thankful for that. But they on the day of judgment, you can't. Well, my oldest girl's name is Macy. She was a good girl. Please let her in. If she takes a different path other than the Lord's path, it's His decision. And we need to follow His path for that reason, so we can be saved eternally and receive that crown of life that's mentioned in Revelation 2:10. And so many say in today's world, baptism is not necessary. That is not what the Scripture teaches. Turn with me to a couple passages and we'll move to our second point. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, you know, you really don't have to turn to a lot of these verses because you know them by heart. Verses 37 and 38, the first gospel sermon's been preached here on the day of Pentecost, and they're pricked in their hearts. You know, I tell you what, I remember growing up, and when we did something wrong, me and my sister, my mom would say something, and it would hurt. You know, you just get nervous, you'd get scared, she'd call you in there. One time I hit a rock. I was a big baseball guy. I was hitting rocks with a plastic bat as a little boy. My dad had a new Ford F-250, and I hit his windshield with that rock, and it left three little stars. Oh, boy. And I went in, and I was already crying. And my mom said, "Where's your sister? Where's your sister?" And so she thinks I've hurt my sister. I hadn't hurt my sister. I was in worse trouble. It'd been better if I'd hurt my sister. She called my dad, and he wasn't even going to whoop me. But, boy, she let me know what I did. And I didn't forget it. I still hadn't forgot. She got me good on that one. Here's the thing. I knew that fear, that trembling, because there was a consequence that was about to happen. They had heard the gospel preached, and they knew they were not saved. They needed to make a change, just like all of us. Romans 3:23, "For all sin and fall short of the glory of God." We need to repent of our sins. And what did they do? Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" We want to know what God wants us to do, not what the popular people in Athens, Alabama want us to do, not what the rich and the wealthy, not what these preachers who have started these own denominations, their own church. We want to know what the Lord says. We want to get to heaven. We can practice a faith all down this earth, but if it's not the faith of the Lord, it's not going to help us in the end. What do we do? Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." You're not baptized into anything else except for Christ and His blood. You're wearing His name. My wife is the dark-headed one. A guy was telling it right. My sister was the blonde. My wife's dark-headed. If I left the building tonight and she met a guy here and his last name was Johnson, and she starts saying, "I'm Monica Johnson." Why are you calling yourself Monica Johnson? You're my wife. You wear my name. Why do so many people call themselves by so many religious names that are not Christ's name? Who gave their life for us on the cross of Calvary, for each and every one of us? Did John the Baptist do it? How many people call themselves Baptists? Did John Calvin do it? Did the Pope? Jesus did. We wear His name. We are the Church of Christ. Just as anybody in here wouldn't want their husband or wife or anybody else's name, why would we want to wear someone else's name other than the one who gave His life for us on the cross of Calvary? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at John 3, 5. John chapter 3 at verse 5. John 3, verse 5. You know, many people quote John 3, 16. Well, I challenge you to read the chapter and see how many times the word baptism is mentioned in John chapter 3. Because it's more than once, it's more than twice. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," He's talking to Nicodemus, "except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." He can't. There's no exceptions. Jesus said this. Not me, not Guy, not Matt Taylor, not Matt Burns, not Albert. Jesus Christ said this. Look at Galatians 3:27 as Paul is writing here to the Galatians. Notice what he says in Galatians 3:27. "For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How do you know you're a Christian, that you've put Christ on? When you're buried in waters of baptism, to walk in the newness of life with Him. So, like Naaman, maybe at first you didn't want to listen, or maybe you were hard-headed. I've been hard-headed before. I'm hard-headed. My wife says I'm still hard-headed. But I want to get to heaven, so I want to stick with the Word of God. Secondly, what about the walls of Jericho and Joshua, their fearless leader? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24:15. We will serve the Lord. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. We're going to read verses 2 through 5, and then we're going to skip, read 10, and then verses 15 to 16. "And the Lord said to Joshua, See, I have given in your hand Jericho, and the king therefore, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days." Notice as we're reading this, the details of the great details here. Not just do whatever you want, Jericho's yours, knows the details. You walk about it one time for 6 days, and seven priests shall bear the ark, seven trumpets of ram's horns, and the seventh day you shall compass the city seven times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Notice the description. On the seventh day, seven times, then everybody hollers. Very detailed. Very detailed. Not here, just do whatever you want. Jericho's yours. How many religious practices today? That's it. Just do whatever you want. Any faith, anything's fine. Just worship God and you're fine. That's not God's way. That's not sticking to God's way. Skip down to verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then you shall shout. He gives them that detail. Not until it's time. Start back in verses 15 and 16. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. Why? Because that was God's plan. That was His prescription. That was His recipe. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The Lord said. The Lord said. He gave them the recipe. Just like He gives us. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. We believe. We repent. We confess. And we're baptized. And then what about after we're baptized? Is that it? We've got to live faithfully. We've got to endure. We've got to finish the course set before us. If we love the Lord. Just like Jesus endured. Just like He loved us. Joshua stuck with the Word of God. He never changed it. Oh, it's 2017. Things are changing. We better change if we're going to get anybody in this building. Well, we can have a building full. But if that faith is built on the sand, it don't matter. Or we can take just a few who build their faith on the rock, and those are souls that will be saved, and we've got something. Because if you read the Scriptures, it's narrow, the path that leads to life everlasting, and it's broad, the path that leads to destruction. He wasn't innovative. I've got some new ideas. I've got some new ideas. Matt, bring your guitar. Bring your harmonica. Bring your drums. The kids love these things. Well, when you go home, get them all out and have fun. Whatever you want to do at your house, as long as it's not sinful, do it. But this is a place of worship. We're here to sacrifice our time to worship our Creator, to please the Creator, not the creature. This isn't our time. This is His time. So many people become innovative. They change things. They stray away from what God has commanded. But Joshua, the fearless leader, the successor of Moses, he did. Guy's got a lesson he's done. I know you've heard it. We need more Joshuas. What about the young men here at O'Neill? I don't know all of your congregation. I'm sure you've got some that may not be here tonight. Do we have the Joshuas? We have those who are coming up that will replace the Guy McDaniels, that will replace the Matts. We've got plural Matts. Al, anyone else who speaks the Word of God, to bring their kids to these vacation Bible schools. You don't have to preach. You can lead singing or the prayers, and you can be a faithful mom or dad and raise your kids to know the Lord. Stick to the Word of God. Making application to the walls of Jericho. Many today don't stick with God's Word as Joshua did. You know, not just a few, many. They add musical instruments to worship. Again, there's no New Testament examples of a worship at all, of any kind where they use musical instruments. There's none. When we do something, we've got to do it in the name of the Lord. Whatever we do in word or deed, there's nothing that says use them. There's no examples or commands. They only partake in the Lord's Supper sometimes. Only some Sundays. But you know what? The very same people give every Sunday. Every Sunday. And if you look at our examples in the New Testament, on the first day of the week, that's how it starts out in Corinthians, where it talks about giving. On the first day of the week, as it talks about taking the Lord's Supper, then why are we only giving? Or we're giving every first of the week, but we only take the Lord's Supper sometimes. Because they've strayed from the Word of God. They're not sticking with His Word. They worship the creature rather than the Creator. They make human creeds. How many practices today, they don't use the Bible? They've got their own Bible. It has multiple names. But it's something they've typed up, they've printed. It may have some verses in it, but it's not fully the Word of God. They add and take from God's Word. In Revelation 22, verse 18, 19, as John writes, he writes, don't add or take away. Don't add or take away. J- Joshua didn't say, we're going to go ahead and march around an eighth time because we think God will be happy with this. Well, that would have been presumptuous. Let's do it eight times to just show him we're really involved. He didn't ask for eight times. Go ahead and shout the first thing. Let's get the walls to getting weaker at first. Let's make the walls weaker. If we shout every day, maybe the last day they'll be ready to fall in. He didn't alter it. And many more. Many people do things contrary to the Word of God. Well, let's see what Jesus says about that. Turn into a few passages. Look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. The people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching doctrines, the commandments of men. You know, how many buildings did you pass tonight that every Sunday people meet together in those buildings? But it's not the Lord's church, but it's a religious practice. How many can you see on television? How many of you have kin folks or loved ones that worship in ways like that? All of us. Most of us. Well, they're worshiping him, and they think that's good enough. And he's the judge. He'll get to make that call. But according to Jesus here, there's a lot of people who draw to him with their mouth and honor him with their lips. They're worshiping. But what's the problem? Their heart is far from me because in vain they worship me. They're teaching doctrines, the commandments of men. It's not God's Word. They've altered it. They've become innovative. They've changed it. And it didn't just start in 2017. It started back then. It started a long time ago that they started altering. We've got a better way. As Naaman said, can I not go to these waters? Can you not put a change? Can we not do things different? God will be okay with it. Well, we're about to see two people that God wouldn't okay with doing things a little different. Look at Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. You know Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire. Now here's the thing. People today, well, as long as I'm worshiping God, we please. They did what he told them to do. They just didn't do it how he told them to do it. They didn't use the fire he asked for. It was strange fire, which he commanded them not. We met and we worshiped on Sunday, but we didn't do what he commanded us to do. And there went out fire from the Lord, and he devoured them, and they died before the Lord. What about Cain and Abel in Genesis? They both made their sacrifice, but he was pleased with Abel's and not with Cain's. He wasn't pleased with it. Well, I did it, Lord. It's not what I asked you to do. What about us? Look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. What there's no better example than this here. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, this is Jesus talking, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So I can't just call on the name of the Lord and be saved? Not according to Jesus. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name cast out devils? In your name done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you work iniquity. Will that be us? Mitchell Dowring, I don't know you, depart from me, you who work iniquity. I never knew you. Well, Lord, I met, we tried. Are we doing it God's way? Are we doing it our way? Are we adding? Are we taking away? Are we doing what he would have us to do? Let's stick with God's word as Joshua and the people did as they took down the walls of Jericho. And then finally, I told you we would build up. Naaman, he did it. It just took him some time. Joshua, he did it, and he did it exactly. But who better than Jesus Christ to follow when it comes to sticking with the word of God? Our great example. Look at Matthew chapter 4 with me. Matthew chapter 4. Look at verses 1 through 4, 7 and 10. And you'll notice if you're reading a version where your letters are red in some spots, you'll notice verse 4, 7 and 10 are red and they each repeat themselves. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Just like you and I are tempted, we're tempted to sin on a regular basis. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones may be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God's path, sticking with God's path, sticking with God's word. Verse 7, as he's tempted the second time, Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. When your kids ask you a question, why don't we participate in these activities? Why do we worship every Sunday and every Wednesday? Why do we not use this kind of language? Because it's written. Because it's in the Scripture. Because that's what God has asked us to do or not to do. When you're making your decisions, we have our gospel meeting. We have 2 a year at Piney Grove. And we try to plan these things out a year ahead. You know why we try to give everybody a year? So you can plan your work schedule and your vacations around our gospel meetings, because this is the Lord's time. What's more important than saving souls? Going to the beach? Going to the mountains? Going out west? You would rather do that than save souls? We gave you a year to plan this meeting out. Put it on your schedule. How many people carry around schedules everywhere nowadays, in their pocket, everywhere? Plan on what's important. That's what we do. We make our decisions based on what's important to us. And then in verse 10, then said Jesus to him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." You know, in the Old Testament, one of the Ten Commandments is you shall love the Lord your God with all... you shall love the Lord your God, okay? Have no other gods before it. I was getting in the New Testament there. You should love with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Well, here's the thing. You know, I am a big baseball. I love baseball. I've got 2 girls, though, so the Lord's keeping me away from baseball. Here's the thing. You know how many people I talk to today, and they say, we've got a baseball tournament on Sunday. Can you believe they're putting this on Sunday? We had 2 boys that worked with us at Piney Grove, and I'm going to tell you something. This right here, you'll know where I'm going real quick. I watched them both grow up. Both graduated a year after one another, and they both played high school football, and they were having their spring training during our gospel meeting. Well, spring training would end every night about 6, 6:30. So I talked with them. I said, you know, you need to tell Coach Denton. He claims to be a godly man, non-member of the Lord's Church, but he claims to be a godly man. Just tell him, say, Coach, I'm going to give you 100% year-round, but on Monday and Tuesday night, I need to leave early. I need to leave practice at about 5:45, 6, so I can get home, get a shower, and get to work services. One of them did. One of them didn't. Do you know which one's still faithful and which one's not? The one who left early to make it to worship services, he's a member of the Lord's Church and he leads sin. He's a faithful Christian. The other one hadn't been to church in about 4 or 5 years. Because he had other things that were more important. And you know what? His parents don't worship anymore. His mom worshiped 42 years with him. She don't worship anymore. I baptized 3 of her 4 boys. None of them are worshiping faithfully anymore. Because they had other things that were more important than keeping the Word of God. I love them with all my heart, and I would love to see them come back. But now she's in an adulterous marriage. They don't have any care to be at worship services. It's a sad situation. I'm sure you've seen it. But we need to say it like Jesus did. It is written. This is why we're making this decision. This is why we're choosing this path. Because we love God with all our heart, all our soul, and our mind. In the Old Testament, he said, you should have no other gods before me. He doesn't mean Baal. That's a graven image. He means, I've got to come first. And in my life, I'm sad to say, a lot of times, my wife has pushed me and say, is that what's best for our kids? Is this what's best for us in our relationship with Christ? Or we put him on the back burner, as so many people do today. Jesus kept saying, it is written. Do you do the same in making your decisions on salvation? On how to worship and how to live? Can we say regarding the direction of our lives and our decisions, we do or do not do this or that because it is written? It's not always easy. Hey, it's not easy. You know how many times my little girls can come home and say, Daddy, we're selling lottery tickets for whatever's going on at school. Well, we're not going to participate in that. We'll donate a little money to school. We're not going to participate in that. All my friends are going here. Well, we're going to do something else. We've got to make sure that our motivation, our decisions are not, well, that's the way we've done it for 100 years at O'Neill. No, that's not it either. We're doing it because we want to stick to the Word of God and His path. And we want to be saved eternally more than anything else. You go to a funeral. I don't know the last one you've been to. And as you're looking at that person in the grave, I tell you, the saddest one I've went to was my grandma. And you think about all the memories and the good times and the loved ones that you've seen buried, your brothers and sisters in Christ here at O'Neill. And you realize one day that'll be me sooner than I'm expecting. But I make all these decisions on this earth that don't always put Christ first. I'm not giving him 100%. But I'm expecting 100% on that judgment. I'm expecting a crown of life. Let's remember what Jesus did. He was a great example, making application. We need to study to show ourselves approved, to know what is written. You can't practice if you don't know it. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. Workmen that need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. All Scripture is important. As Paul's talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he says, all Scripture is inspiration of God. That means God breathed it out. That we can become thoroughly furnished into every good work. It's good for reproof, correction, doctrine. It's good for so many things. But you've got to know it to be able to practice it and stick to it. We've got to always put God's will first. Here's the great example. Take this with you out of anything. Turn to Mark 14, 36. Mark chapter 14, verse 36. When you think it's hard to make a decision on what's right and wrong, think about this verse. Jesus is about to be crucified. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. God, you can do whatever you want. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I want, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will. It hurts me. It hurts me to discipline my children. It hurts me to tell no. It hurts me to do certain things. It hurts me to say no to my friends at work. It hurts me to stand up to my family and what's right. But it's not my will. It's yours be done. He's about to be crucified, killed. You think that didn't hurt? Please, if this doesn't have to happen, don't let it, he said. But not what I want, but what you want. If we will have that attitude about every decision and choice and direction and path we take, and we stick to the Word of God, and we choose that to be our priority, we can rejoice on that day. We should always stick to the Word of God when it comes to putting God first. Matthew 6, 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Put Him first, and sports will fall into place. Entertainment will fall into place. I love college football. It'll happen. It'll take care of itself. But God's first. Sunday morning in college football season, you come here, guys preaching. Half the crowd's asleep because Alabama and Auburn played at 8 o'clock last night, and they didn't get done until midnight. I know how it is. That's fine. It's a healthy thing as long as you keep it in perspective. But don't sleep in and skip Sunday morning service because you stayed up watching that. Me and my wife are Florida Gator fans. We love the Florida Gators. We traveled to Missouri 2 years ago. We went to Arkansas this year and got beat pretty bad. We've been all over. We go to Gainesville every year. Here's the thing. We make that trip back. This past year, the hardest one was Missouri. We left Missouri. It was a night game. We left there at 10, 11 o'clock, got back the next one. This year went to Arkansas, 2:30, back this morning. I remember we were in Lexington, Kentucky 4 or 5 years ago, and we knew we were going to have visitors the next day, guy. And they were looking for a place to worship. It was a 7:30 kickoff. We left. We got a couple hours of sleep when we got home, but we were there for Bible class the next morning, and we got to visit with those visitors. That was the main goal we had, to be there for them people looking for a place to worship. And we hadn't always made the best choices on that, but we've grown from the ones we didn't make right. And raising our children, raising your children, turn with me one last time, the lesson will be yours. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verses 6 through 9. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently. Not sometimes. I go back to baseball. I coach baseball where I work at, where I teach. We've got a dad. He's a deacon at a congregation near the school. Great man. He does everything right. I'm saying this to brag on him, not to pull him down. But, buddy, his kid is a great baseball player because they spend countless hours, but just as many hours as they put into baseball, they put into worship. They put into spiritual growth. His son's about 12, 13 years old and can lead a prayer like a 50-year-old man. That's what it takes. Teach him all the time, diligently. When you sit in your house, when you walk your way, when you lie down, when you rise up, when you bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, you shall write them on the posts of your house and on the gates, and it shall be written, when the Lord your God shall bought thee in the land which you swore by your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which you buildest not. Teach your children. Show them what's first. Not what your will is, but God's will be done. Stick to His Word. What about choosing a job? Oh, man. How many people have left the Lord's church because they took a job that pulled them away from God? Choosing recreation. I've done hit on that. Giving God our best at all times. What about choosing a spouse? That's a big one. In conclusion, if you'll finish out with me, are you sticking to the Word of God in a world who will go every which way the wind takes it? Are you sticking with God's Word? Are your reasons for sticking with the Word of God due to an ingrained faith in God? Let that be the reason. Stick with the Word of God to the end, and it will pay off.